Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
Panic and Treat the Podcast is a personal podcast produced for informational and entertainment purposes only. The content reflects the host's opinions and personal experiences as new graduate nurses. It does not constitute professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment.
All patient details have been changed or left out to protect privacy in accordance to HIPAA guidelines. Any resemblance to real people is purely coincidental. The point of views in this podcast are ours alone and do not reflect those of our employers, schools, or any organizations we are connected to. For health concerns or concerns of a general nature, please talk to a qualified professional. And with that, let's get started.
Hey, besties.
Hello.
It's Alora.
And it's Jess.
And welcome to the Panic and Treat Podcast.
So, this week, we're going to kind of talk about some different specialties that we saw as nursing students. Mm-hmm. And like things that our friends work in around here, because we have a lot of friends in nursing. But do you want to tell them the smell for this week?
Yeah, so we'll put the candle on here in a second, but the candle this week, it is called Flannel, you know, for our fall seasons. It was a solid 70 whole degrees today and getting colder, and I'm so loving it. I can't wait for it to snow, but that's another note and another day. Well, okay, tell us what we're drinking this week, Jess.
So this week, I decided we were going to use our cute little mugs because I'm feeling fallish, but our drinks are cold. So mine says, Life is Short, Talk Fast from Gilmore Girls.
And then mine says, what does it say again?
I'm too pretty to work.
I am, you guys.
And I made, so we got our friend brought us back the caramel apple whipped cream from Target when she was in Arizona.
Thank you, God.
Danielle.
Shout out to Danielle.
Love her. She like put it in her cooler and transported it back for us.
We were bitching for weeks and we were like, we can't find it. She's like, do you guys want me to look? I was like, duh, please.
I did apple cider, the whipped cream, and then a caramel drizzle on top. So we haven't even tried it yet. We should try it.
Girl, delicious.
A little cheers.
A little trink.
A little clink.
Oh,
clink.
Clink.
Give it a good. Oh, she's good.
She's gorgeous.
Oh, she's good. And then, we're being hydrated, little besties. Did you just drop yours?
I sure did. It's okay, so she's going to show you hers because I'm not getting up to get that.
It's a little minis of Burt's Bees.
For all our podcast listeners, yeah, it's a little tiny mini chapstick of the Burt's Bees.
Alora doesn't like the tinted ones, so I didn't get the Halloween ones because they were all tinted, but...
I'm not a fan. I feel like because I don't ever wear makeup, friends, so I just feel like when I wear that and then suddenly I have a tinted lipstick on, it's looking a little weird.
Everybody's like, what are you doing, Alora?
A little incomplete. No, they're like, where's the rest of it?
They're like, hey, girl.
And I'm like, oh no, there's no more. No more. None for you.
No more for you. Okay, so we're going to talk about different specialties.
Oh, hold on. Before we go crazy.
Oh, yeah,
so
guys, home
for all our video listener, or I mean all our video watchers, we just did a little unboxing of all the shirts Jess got us, but I feel really bad because we haven't been able to, like, do a video of the unboxing ones that I've done. I bought us some shirts that say cuff 'em with little gooses and a little... little blood pressure cup. It's so fucking cute. I got them for Nurse John. Shout out to him. And then, again, we're a little crazy around here.
Can you like my Instagram post finally, please?
She said that you haven't. But yeah, just so you know, I do buy us things, but they all end up getting opened off camera because we don't wait. Anyways,
the only reason the shirts we bought today lasted was because my husband threw them in the podcast studio and I forgot about them for a quick minute until we walked in here. Okay, so you ready to get into it?
Let's get into it.
Okay, so one of the kind of ancillary departments to my specialty, so medical oncology, is the outpatient and infusion center over at our cancer center. One of the things is the patients have to be like, they call it the ambulatory infusion center. They have to be able to like get themselves there and back. Mm-hmm. But they also have like transport and stuff over there. So that's pretty cool. So they can get like our older patients who can't drive anymore or are like too sick to drive to their oncology appointments, which I think is pretty cool.
Yeah.
But we in what semester was that? Was that our third semester that we did all of the fun little...
Yeah.
We got to go over there and spend it, like, part of a day. It was, like, 8 hours with one of the infusion nurses over there. And so we got to see them do, like, how they do the port accesses. They have, like, a chemo side where they do all of the chemo infusions on one side. And then the other side they do the antibiotics, the electrolytes, and the bloods, and like, just regular infusions over there that, like, anybody could get.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have that, like, section where they do the, like, rooms. And they do shots in there and stuff. So they do, like, I love you. They do like the biologics and stuff in there, and then they can do like the dressing changes and stuff. I thought that was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
But that was a pretty cool one, because I think I kind of want to end up in one of those someday when I'm tired of working bedside.
So now.
I'm just kidding. I love my job.
We like to joke.
I actually got to go over there a couple weeks ago, do my port certification with those nurses.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to take a class on how to do it and, like, all of the evidence-based practice stuff of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went over and did my pokes. I had to do, like, 3 pokes. I ended up doing, like, 6 or whatever, just because I had time.
That's good.
We saw, like, the nurse was super busy that morning, so we got to see, like, patient after patient after patient. And so now I have my port certification at our hospital.
Claps for Jessica.
Super fun.
I haven't done anything that interesting yet. We don't have any fun, like, crazy.
I know, they don't let you,
like, extra certifications. I don't know if I get it anyways. I've seen, like, maybe 2 ports, you know, the entire time.
Oh, really?
I've been on the floor, and honestly, our VAT team just accesses them when they come up.
Our VAT team is fantastic. They
literally shout out to them.
But if they're busy, a lot of the nurses on my floor, you guys can always call us, because a lot of us have it.
That's smart. I love a good little resource.
Yeah, find them.
Little update on my life that I think...
This is going to be so great,
now,
guys.
Now that, you know, I'm gathering all my resources, because I am officially moving over to the day shift. Yay!
It's going to be great.
As of next month, and I'm terrified, but that's terrified. Okay.
Because I'm excited
for new changes. And I know I've literally been talking on here about how much I love the night shift, but I do need a little bit something different. And I'll talk a little bit more about why later, but I'm going to see what the vibe is going to be on the day shift. And I'm so excited, because me and Jessica are going to have more lunch often now.
Yes.
It's going to be so exciting.
We're also the same days.
It's going to be so exciting.
Okay. So what's one area that you saw that you want to talk about?
So before we, because I don't know if you addressed this. I literally was not listening if you were. I feel like I dissociated there for a second.
You're fine.
But, why we're doing this episode is, you know, for all our new grads, you know, our nursing school people that are coming in. And we were like, we kind of wanted to know more about the specialties that, you know, nursing has to offer inside of the hospital or around town-wise before, you know, you get to your 4th semester. Because I think it's pretty standard that most places have, you know, like a last year preceptorship where you go somewhere, mm-hmm. and I feel like it's really hard if you didn't get to see everything.
Yeah, I feel like people do, like, every school does it different too, but I feel like that what really sparked us into looking into different specialties was we were part of SNA, the Student Nursing Association.
Mm-hmm. We were not a part of it,
we ran that shit. Anyway,
sorry, scratch that. Jessica was president, I was vice president, and it was so delicious.
Sat me for an entire school. but we ended up going to the conference, and we met so many practicing nurses that have been nurses for generations, and they were talking about, like, all of the things that they've done, and we were kind of like, ooh, specialties, and then we went into this, like, deep dive on it.
Mm-hmm.
So we've compiled, like, a list of the things that we saw, because I feel like our nursing instructors were really good about getting us clinical opportunities in different areas.
Yeah, shout out to that, because that was hard, like, to be as diverse as they are.
Yeah, they did a really good job, though. So, okay, right. Back to what area
so do you want to talk about? So, you just talked about the infusion clinic. Mm-hmm. Do you want to talk about medical oncology real quick for all the girls? Because I feel like they kind of go similarly.
Kind of like what we do up there?
Yeah.
So, we are kind of I call us the junk drawer of the hospital, but in, like, an endearing way.
Mm-hmm.
We get the patients, like, the overflow patients. So we can take overflow surgical. We can take overflow medical. So if a Laura's floor is, like, completely full and there's no beds and it's not an appropriate patient for a different unit, we take them. And then, fun fact, we get to do chemo, which a lot of people aren't excited about that, but I think chemo is such a cool niche skill to have, because they do there's so much behind giving chemo. It's not like just hooking up the IV and going. Like, you have to be so precise, and everything is timed so specifically. It's so cool. That's my next certification, is my chemo cert.
Yeah. Dumb question for you real quick. So one of our instructors used to be on an oncology floor as well, and she talked about having like a radiation button.
Mm-hmm.
I don't exactly know what she worked in. Like, she might have done like actual like radiation therapy.
She worked
Does chemo have anything similar where you can only like handle it for so long before they tell you no more?
No.
Okay.
So one of the infectious disease doctors that worked at our hospital was working on a study, actually, and mm-hmm. he was following oncology nurses specific and tracking like blood trend levels.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like a lot of
like, I know you guys are very safe. Very
yes.
safe.
But he was kind of like tracking like exposure levels.
Yeah.
Kind of, like trying to find a way to track our exposure levels to the chemo. But she was talking about the little button. A lot of the radiology department wears it too. It just tracks how much like radiation you've been exposed to.
Mm-hmm.
But she worked over in the cancer center. They have the radiation oncology clinic where they go and do like all of the radiation treatments.
Okay.
And they just got a new fancy like radiation machine that they were showing. So I went over. A bunch of us walked over to the open house when they did it for the public, and we went and looked at it. And it's like this big shiny machine. I have no idea what it does.
Oh. Love that. Not for us.
I do know. Like, we've had a couple patients that we've had to take over there because they were super sick and they were radiation and chemo patients, and we can give them their chemo, but they still have to go across the bridge to the cancer center and get the radiation.
Yes.
So we would take them over there, and I know if it's like head and neck, they have these things that they get made for them that holds them in the exact same spot every
time. Yes, I've seen those. They look insane.
Yes. One of my patients actually graduated from radiation while she was on our floor, and she was like, can I keep it? And she had all the nurses sign
like
it.
Like a souvenir?
Yes. Oh, she had all of the nurses from the cancer center sign it, and then all of us. It was so fun.
I would totally hang that up on my wall.
She was a little cutie.
Because those are extremely expensive, too.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Literally your most expensive wall decoration ever, but good on her. Good on her. Congratulations to her.
I don't know. We do a lot of stuff on our floor. We get a lot of, like, weird...
Yeah.
Weird patient cases on our floor.
I think that's what I like about, you know, working where we do. Because, mm-hmm. like, it's a different ball game every single day, obviously.
Yeah.
So, everybody knows I work on the medical floor. Like, we don't call ourselves a medical surgical because we have a whole surgical floor itself.
Yes.
But we do end up getting a lot of surgical patients anyway. So med-surg, # medical. Anyways, so we aren't as junk drawer as maybe Joseph's floor when they do end up on overflow. Like, we specialize in DKA, mm-hmm. which means your sugars are too high when you come in, so we're like titrating you down on insulin. Or and we also deal with a lot of like with like substance withdrawal. We're very specialized in that. We do it very well. And then a lot of like cirrhosis, alcohol, mm-hmm. stuff related, respiratory stuff. So if you need to be on special machines to help you breathe, we're pretty much the floor that does that, because we used to be the COVID floor. So we're very well versed in like BiPAPs, which are like these machines that help you breathe, or CPAPs, or just respiratory issues.
Yeah, I feel like you guys get a lot more respiratory than we do. I guess the like big difference between your floor is if a lot of the doctors will look and see that they've had like a history of cancer, or like mm-hmm. it's a new diagnosis, and they like panic and send them to us.
Yeah.
I know. They're like, oh, they had breast cancer 20 years ago. They got to go to eight. Like, they just, they're panic a little bit.
So, but the medical floor, like, it is, like, very just, you know, you're going to see a lot of diverse diagnoses. Because even though we specialize in the things that I just talked about, like, we can get anything and everything.
Yeah. And you guys get a lot of, like, people coming out of the ICU that are, like,
Like,
I don't want to say step down, because you guys aren't a step down, you know, but it's, like, when they first come out, you guys get them.
Which should be a step down. But anyways, that's a different story.
Oh my gosh.
But so in medical, like, you do lots of antibiotics, and it's like mm-hmm. a lot of your very basic nursing tests that you learn in nursing school, like just people that are needing Foleys and the IVs, and I don't do a lot of NG tubes. Jess has done a couple of NG
tubes.
So if you're looking for floors where you feel like you're going to see a lot of different things, you're going to get a lot of general information, and you want to continue to practice like your nursing skills probably at their fullest.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the place to be.
I feel like
on a med-surg floor.
I feel like your floor is a good place to go and like hone your skills.
Yes. Because you guys, some people get a little upset when you say that, just because, like, you know, like they want you to stay forever on the floor. But don't be afraid to use like a med surg or an oncology floor as a stepping stone to like higher level care, maybe just like different level of cares or just like different specialties. It's really good to start out in and then move out.
Well, and when I worked in Denver, my oncology floor was a true oncology floor. We didn't do medical patients unless it was like a part of their cancer journey. We did like a lot of like oncological surgery patients. So our hospital was more, because it was a part of a network, obviously, because Denver's huge, right? It was part of a network, and our hospital did a lot of breast reconstruction surgeries and mastectomies.
Okay.
And then we have...
That's kind of scare me, just with, like, all, like, the stitching.
All
this,
yes.
And the drains that are coming out, because you have, like, several different drains. It's, like, a little crazy.
That was what I was saying. I feel really good about, like, keeping track of those. But they also did a lot of... I got really good at ostomies in Denver. Just, like, the general, like, managing care and, like, helping them empty and stuff like that. Because we did a lot of GI.
Oh, I need you to come show the girls on my floor how to do
this. Yeah, I love ostomies. I think they're so fun.
We all kind of suck at them. Like, we power through, and we just hope that they've had it for long enough that they can do their own care. And then we just kind of follow on through it and make sure it looks okay.
Well, if you guys are ever looking for resources... Just for, in general, everybody, your wound care nurse with ostomies is your...
only work on the weekend.
I know.
And she's not there on the weekend.
But they're your best friends. They're your best friends. Even if you just, like, and go and take an ostomy class. Because I had to take one as a CNA in Denver.
That would be helpful.
And it was very helpful. And I feel like I learned a lot of little, like, tips and tricks. Because in the patients that have had them for a long time are really good about knowing what supplies work for them the best.
Yes.
Because everybody's skin is different and all of that. But yeah, we did a lot of like true oncology stuff in Denver, whereas like here it's kind of like a mix of
a mixed bag, you know.
Yeah, that's why I call it the junk drawer.
Yeah,
because it's just like you can find
it in a bad way.
You can
really all the tools. Yes, all the tools to do everything.
I wish you had more NG tube experience because I've dropped two now.
I've only ever done one, and I felt this was years ago. Not years ago. I've only been working for a year and a half. I'm so fucking dramatic. It was on my orientation as an LPN. Oh, God, those scare me so bad. Like, I just...
Did you have to drop it, or were you just...
I dropped it.
Oh, good job.
But the thing is, like, this poor girl, she just, she had had a lot of NG tubes in her life. And, so her one nostril, like, was scarred with tissue from previous, like, attempts to do it. And I was like, oh, you know, drugs. But...
anyway.
But it took five people, because she was she consented and everything, and she like did all the consents and everything, and she's like, I've had a bunch of these, I know what happens. But then she looked me dead in the eye. She was like, you're gonna need to hold me down. She's like, I get volatile, Laura. I just can't,
like, she
do not handle it. And I was like, oh. And I was like, okay, I don't know if I can put this down you, especially if you're going to fight me on it. And she was like, no, I'm consenting. Like, this is, I'm giving you all the consent. Like, I'll do anything you need. Just know that I do not react well. Like, it's like, like the tickle of the nose and everything. It just makes her, she goes insane. We had to have five people hold her down while I put this NG tube in her. She did it like a champ, though. Like, with five people holding her down, obviously.
No.
And she was totally okay with it, but that was just traumatizing for me, too, because, like, it was just...
You're like, this is my first, like, one of them. I did it, scared.
I did it fast, but it was insane, because somebody literally had to hold her head. That way she didn't, like, yank her nose back.
At least she, like, knew how to help you get it down, though, too.
Mm-hmm.
I always feel like my hardest thing with those is explaining to them, like, that they have to swallow.
Yeah.
To get it down. But I dropped a Dabhoff. My last one was a Dabhoff, and that one's the weighted one. And that went down way easier.
Yeah.
That one went down easier. But
I just wish they had, like, little cameras, you know, that way you could, like, see.
I feel like some fancy hospitals
do. And I know some fancy hospitals do have that, but it's honestly not for the general public, so. And I think IR can do that, but,
Yes, IR has all the
tools. They have guide wires and all that, but.
But my one that I dropped, my first one that I dropped was the one that I dropped into that guy's lung twice.
Oopsie deesies.
Fun fact, friends, if you drop it in the lung, just pull it right out and you're fine.
Oopsie deesies.
Don't put anything in it, just pull it out. You will know that you were in a lung, I promise. The things go crazy, you know. But the rapid response nurse also dropped it in the other one. And when he went down to IR, they found out he had this, like, huge hiatal hernia that was blocking his stomach.
And it was just like,
and it was causing, that was what was causing all of his, like, symptoms that he was having, that they even put the NG tube in to begin with.
That's insane.
Yeah, it was crazy. But they ended up dropping a guide wire, and then IR could barely get it in.
Oh, the Songbird people. God
sends. I know.
God sends. Okay, let's move on to, so at the end of the day, if you want general nursing experience, med-surg or an oncology med-surg floor just like, would be the way.
Yeah, just like a general, like,
and you know what, friends? Give it the 6 months. Give it the 6 months. If you hate it, move on. Like, any experience is good experience at the end of it.
Yeah, I mean, you always add to your toolbox. You'll learn something.
You'll learn lots of things.
You'll learn lots of things. You'll learn
something. Anyways, okay, what's next on our list?
I think we're doing good, kind of. Let's talk about, so the next floor down from Alora's in our hospital is, because we work at the top.
Mm-hmm. As we should.
The next floor down is tele, the telemetry unit. Mm-hmm. And we kind of reserve those beds for, like, the true tele patients, like, tele-appropriate patients.
And so tele, like, means, like, our cardiac people. So if you're having heart issues of any kind, you usually end up going to that floor. That way they can monitor your heart rhythms a little bit more closely.
Yeah. And we'll talk about cath lab here in a second, but, like, a lot of our heart caths go there. They can do certain cardiac drips.
Yeah, it's called a diltiazem drip.
Is that the one that they do?
It's the one that they specialize in.
Yeah, so they can do a little more, like, specialized stuff, and those nurses are, like, cardiac trained nurses.
Yes. So they're, like, monitoring EKGs all day on our five lead devices, which are just stickers that go on your chest. If you've ever been to the hospital, you probably have one done at one point or another. If they've had, like, a recent heart attack, they'll go to that floor. If they have something called, like, new onset AFib, where your heart is doing irregular beats and all that fun stuff, you'll go to that floor. That way they can monitor you closely. If you have any, like, specific cardiac meds, kind of like the diltiazem, you'll go to that floor just so they can monitor you. So it's very heart heavy. But man, those nurses are wicked
smart. And they love cardiac stuff. They love it.
They actually,
they're, like, a little adrenaline.
Well, and they're actually kind of more of, like, the step down unit. Like, they're, like, almost like the official step down unit, but not step down unit. Because we don't have an actual official step down unit at our hospital. I think it would be probably good for them to invest in one, to be frank. But
things are happening.
That's a conversation not for me, obviously. That's a CEO problem right there.
But we also got to go to, did you go to the cath lab?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the day I went to the cath lab, I missed the only heart cath they had that one.
I watched three, so I made up for more.
Tell us about it.
So the cath lab is kind of like a mini OR, but it's specialized for heart surgeries, right? So, when you have a blockage of some sort, or your heart's doing funky things and you need to open up flow to whatever's wrong, you go to the cath lab and they'll do surgery on you. So,
like, stents and stuff.
Like stents and opening up blockages, and sometimes they do, like, advanced tests where they like put the contrast in and then they watch, like, the way it's flowing down the heart to kind of, like, tell if you have, like, arteriosclerosis and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Arterial or atherosclerosis?
We have two cath labs at our hospital.
Yeah.
There's two rooms. And then they have, like, a recovery area that's got the little bays. And I got to go in there and they did a TEE, a transesophageal echocardiogram.
That was freaking cool.
That was cool. They ended up having to put this guy under, they sedated him more than they normally do, because he actually had to be cardioverted after.
I was going to say, I watched a cardio version.
Yes, that was a wild ride. I was not prepared to see that, and they were like, we're doing it.
Usually they're doing the TEE before the cardio version to make sure they don't throw a clot.
Nice. Yeah, no, they weren't planning on cardioverting this guy. They were just trying to see what was going on. Great. But he had an ejection fracture of less than 5, is what the cardiologist was saying, and I was like...
And friends, remember that our ejection fraction, like, our scale is 1 to 100.
Yeah. And 100 so, being, like, you're like
perfect. Top shape.
Yeah. And so this guy's heart, you could see, it was, like, it looked like it wasn't even moving. It was moving so...
The lowest I've seen on the floor was 9.
It was crazy.
And that was insane because he was actually, like, pretty well functioning until he wasn't. We actually had to transfer him up to the ICU. Steroids, man. That'll get you every single time.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Oh. Yeah. But, as a nurse there, you're doing a lot of, like, pre-op and post-op stuff, watching them, or you're on the OR team with the cath lab people, and you're helping the surgeon set up the room. Well, you're not helping the surgeon. You're setting up the room, and then helping the surgeon with whatever he needs while he's doing the procedure, and then, you know, doing post-op stuff. So that's what cath lab looks like as a nurse.
Well, and the cool thing is they do on-call as well. They take call, and they have, like, a certain amount of time to get to the hospital when they're on-call, because they have that door-to-balloon time that they got to worry about when that patient gets here. Mm-hmm. They have so long to get them under.
See, that seems a little bit stressful to me.
I know. I don't think I would like that part. I think I'd be panicking the whole time. But I bet,
I would just rather be not, like, I just would rather not be on call at that point, you know? Like,
yeah.
It should be like we're, you know, at the VA where you just come in even though it's low census and you make sure nothing crazy goes on. Yeah.
Well, it's nice because, like, for the weekends and overnight and stuff, you mean, they can't staff it 24/7. We just don't have the resources for that here. And so I think it's pretty cool.
20 minutes away.
I know, they were talking about it, though, but they were talking about it, and they were like, by the time they get paid from, like, the moment they get the phone call.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, so they get paid the travel time, which I think is pretty cool. We have a couple nurses that have, like, niche areas that have on-call, obviously, like the OR and stuff. But,
and the PACU and same-day surgery. All right, well, let's keep moving into it then. So
with the cardiac stuff, though, I also got to watch the stress tests. Did you watch those?
Is that...
So they do the chemical one and the...
No, I never got to see those. Do you tell
me? Oh, those were so cool. So the chemical ones, do you know what the antidote... I don't know what the med is called, but the antidote to it, do you know what it is?
No, because I don't know what the med is.
Cup of coffee.
Oh.
They do the stress test and then they give them a cup of coffee because the caffeine reverses the med.
Okay.
But you can tell when it hits them because they're like, oh my God, and it feels like they got hit by a train.
Hmm.
But they do that one for the patients that can't get on the treadmill safely and do this treadmill stress test.
Okay.
Which is pretty cool. I got to put a lot of IVs in there in that part of the cardiac area over there. It was pretty cool.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Pretty cool.
I sucked at the IVs. I did at the cath lab, but that's okay.
It's okay. And then, we also went to cardiac and pulmonary rehab.
That was one of my favorites, I think.
You should tell me.
But, so the cardiac pulmonary rehab is, you know, where you usually go after you've had the heart attack. It's like your follow-up outpatient rehab,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, any other, or like you have long-term COVID and you're just like having a lot of trouble, you know, getting the breath back up and
we had a lot of COPD,
like lung spasticity. Yes. So you go there for like long-term outpatient rehab and it's basically like you're working out under supervision for an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And on one side, they're monitoring your blood pressures like every 30 minutes. And it was so dumb because you have to take their blood pressure while they're working out.
Oh, yeah, that's when you said you needed those blood pressure cuffs.
Because the stuff they had was so ancient. It was so outdated. So it was like these, like, garden hose blood pressure things. So you had to, like, squeeze it like a garden hose to get it to work.
Mm-hmm.
Not my favorite thing ever.
I worked them, so crazy.
And depending on where they were at in their program, you're monitoring their blood pressure, like, every 5 minutes to every 30 minutes. So,
yeah.
Like, it depends on where you were at. Like, they have, like, stages. But it was so much fun. And then you, like, rotate, and they're, like, just watching. And that's all their job is to watch your heart rate and your blood pressure and your oxygen. And that's all they look at. And they just watch it like a hawk for an hour. And they work with the physician to then build what kind of workouts you need to continue.
Yeah. They have so that program is ran by, there's two RNs that do the education over there.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have a respiratory therapist. And then they're called exercise physiologists. And it's like a personal trainer, but not a personal trainer, I guess, is how it was explained to me. Like, they kind of go to the same school as that, but they learn about, like, how the body works while you're working out, basically, is what it was explained to me as. And I thought that was kind of cool that there was like a good little interprofessional team over there.
That
and
sounds
they
like
all,
something like sports medicine would do.
Yes, they all like worked really well together. And then I know they said like sometimes they had to have like the PT, the physical therapy team come over and do stuff with them. It was a pretty cool little department. I liked that one.
All right. Yeah, so that was a really cool job. It's outpatient, so it's like a 9-to-5 sort of thing. You know, like 5 days a week. So if you're thinking that as a new grad, maybe don't.
Oh, it just depends on your lifestyle. Honestly.
I don't know. I think you would lose a lot of your skills if you... I guess it just depends on what you're wanting to keep and what you're not wanting to keep.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there wasn't a lot of skills. I mean, there was a ton of education. That's what the RNs did over there.
Very smart people, but just, like, besides blood pressures and watching oxygen and everything, definitely, maybe if you're wanting more, like, hands-on, do something else.
Yeah.
But it was such a good job. I would totally go to it eventually.
Fun. I think it would be fun to sit there and yap with the patients because you get to know them because they come every, you know, it's
like every three,
it's like the infusion center when they're there all the time. So cool.
Yeah. Hi, highly recommend at some point in your career. Mm-hmm. I liked it. Cool.
Do you want to talk about Sonu? We have a weird, it's not a normal unit. We have the surgical ortho neuro unit.
Yeah.
We call it Sonu.
So they specialize in strokes and like post-surgery stuff.
Yes. So like when they come out of anything, and they specialize in bariatric surgery down there. They have the bariatric surgery center in there too. Mm-hmm. So those are like the patients that can't go home from surgery the same day, go there. And then anything neuro, strokes, they have the epilepsy, the seizure monitoring down there.
Yeah, I saw they were just offering people to like take the class and like get certified on that. And I was like, I'm never down there, so that wouldn't be.
I took it just because I wanted to know, and I'm nosy.
Oh, okay.
When I was a CNA. But yeah, that place, another good place to learn. You learn really quickly how to
manage pain. I was going to say, you'll learn how to like, because you get a ton of education on how to look for strokes. And so that'll be probably one of the biggest things you do is like, because you're like watching for people that are about to have a stroke or maybe post stroke and you're making sure they don't have another one. You're monitoring wounds quite a lot because, like I said, they're coming back from surgery. You're going to get very well versed in talking to surgeons.
Mm-hmm.
Good luck.
Good luck.
We have a video coming out on that actually.
Actually, you know, there's a lot of our surgeons now that are really great. I've had to call them for stuff and they're very attentive. But maybe it's because they don't talk to me all the time.
I don't know. I don't talk to them like that. But we do have a video coming out. Watch that. Anyways, that one's a good one if you're wanting to learn the detail, like the fine details of what somebody looks like after surgery.
And like recovering a surgery
And like recovering patient. A surgery patient.
Yes.
So it's a lot of ice and it's a lot of pain meds from the nurse's point of view. And then most of the time you're getting people up like right after that surgery.
And those doctors are very serious about their eyes and nose.
As they should be. Because it's crazy stuff that can happen.
Yeah.
Things can go very wrong very fast after surgery. It's just how, you know, it's the nature of the beast. But you're going to get very well versed in all of that. And then the patients are not going to be very happy. They're going to be pretty grumpy.
They're going to be a lot of pain, yeah.
But you're just going to have to understand that.
Yeah. And then we did same day, in that same like surgery realm, we did same day surgery.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I got my IV certification for my LPN.
Yes.
Where did you go?
I went to, it's not same day, it was the
center. Okay.
So different place, but same
vibe. Same vibe. So the patients there, you know, they come in the morning and they do their pre-op stuff. They go to surgery, they recover in the PACU, and then they come back. And that's actually, I just had surgery there a couple weeks ago and it was great.
Yeah.
So that was really cool to work with those nurses because we got to see kind of the beginning, and then I followed my patient from pre-op all the way through. So I went and watched their surgery too.
Yeah.
So, you know, we got the IV started, we did all their morning meds, we admitted them, we did all of the things that you do before surgery, like the antibiotics and stuff.
Yeah.
And then, the doctor's consenting and all of that.
I was going to say, describe more because you're kind of taking them, giving them more details on each. So same day is you're putting in a lot of IVs, you know, because they're coming in, you're having the doctors do consent forms, you're prepping them for surgery if they need to be prepped, so you're scrubbing down, and you're making sure they didn't take their medications and everything, you're doing pre-op vitals, and honestly, that's really kind of all you do.
And then they usually start their antibiotics there, too.
And same day starts early, friends. Do remember that. It's like 5 a.m. start time, usually.
Yeah, when I had my surgery, as a patient, I had to be there at 5:30.
Mm-hmm.
So
if you're a new grad and you're like, what do I want to do schedule life? Just remember, same day starts very early.
And you see a lot of patients too, because as a patient, I had to be there at 5, but that was the first one. And then they do surgeries until there's no surgeries scheduled.
But the nice thing is usually like the ratio is like 1-2.
Yeah.
Like they don't ever have usually more than 2 patients at a time, at least at our facility.
Yes.
I don't know how it is at other facilities, but they were very nice ladies.
Yeah.
I thought it was very slow, though, when I was there for the day.
I think that's because we work on the floor and we're used to faster paces.
That's fair.
But I feel like once you were down there, you might get into the flow of things and like it a lot. Going in from, like, kind of pre-op stuff, the OR, did you see any cool surgeries while you were there?
Everybody got to see all these cool, like, laparoscopic ones. And, you know, like, because we all do debriefs at school.
Yeah.
And they got to see all these really cool things. I had ortho surgeries every single time. So, total knees, total hips, carpal tunnel.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm like, girl, I saw all the bones, and every single time it was a surgeon taking a giant ass lever thing and a hammer and ka-ching, ka-ching. They're and the bone favorite. Pieces were everywhere. I was sitting favorite. In the back, and it has to be like that, obviously.
I know.
It's like they're very smart. They know what they do. But I was sitting there in the back corner, and my surgeons, every time, they were so nice to me. They were like, do you want to get closer as I'm watching the bone fly?
I'm like, no, thank you.
And I was like, no. Which I think I'll stay back here, actually.
I got to watch a total shoulder reversal, which is they take. Instead of it being this way, they switch it and make it the other way, the uh-huh. socket.
Uh-huh.
And they were like, all of the nurses were very, very, very particular
mm-hmm.
about their patient being positioned correctly.
Yes.
And making sure, like, doors weren't opened after they were in the joint space. Like, just infection prevention and yes. advocating for their patient in there. It was kind of crazy to me. I was like, oh my gosh.
I actually, I really like how clean... like the OR is mm-hmm. and how strict they are on yes. making sure everything is very cleanly. Cause I feel like sometimes on the floor, people get a little bit lax about precautions that we're supposed to be
also,
doing.
Also, I feel like that's the one place nurses can be like to a surgeon and they can be like, you're fucking up.
Yeah.
Stop it.
Literally.
You just broke yeah, cereal
I
meal.
Just, I loved the OR. I just yeah. don't know if I could do it though as a nurse. Like, cause as a nurse, you've got kind of like two different things you can really do. If like in the OR part of it itself is you can be a circulating nurse. Or what's the other thing they can do?
You can be a scrub nurse.
Scrub nurse, yeah, or yeah. scrub in with them.
Yeah.
And I think both are really cool. I think people usually start out more as a scrub nurse, and then you can move on to circulator if you want, because circulators are kind of the boss. Like, they're making yeah. sure that everything is, like, in line. They're making
yeah,
sure
they're
nobody,
kind of around,
they're,
like, the
they're
perimeter.
Making sure nobody is, like, breaking the sterile field. They're grabbing yes. all the supplies if you need supplies. They're calling the other doctors or the other floors if you need somebody mm-hmm. to talk to. They're just kind of like, they're enlarging in charge, you know?
Yes.
And then, you know, as a scrub nurse, you're doing the counts and looking at the tools. You don't, like, sterilize them or anything.
I don't think
that's,
a lot.
There's
I
a whole other job for that.
But, I didn't see a whole lot of, when I was in the OR, I didn't see a whole lot of scrub nurses. I saw a lot of circulating nurses. Because we
yeah,
have
there's
the scrub
a lot
techs.
Of scrub techs.
Yeah,
too,
we have a lot of scrub techs at our hospital.
But they both do it.
Yeah.
And then you're up next to the surgeon, helping them out, handing them the tools if you need to. So yeah, I thought it was really cool. I don't know if I could be on my feet like that all day though. Like, they have to stand very still, and they're there for a long time. Not a lot of stools.
Not a lot of stools.
I'm like, I think you need a stool.
I liked the OR. I don't think. Yeah, I don't. Think
and
I
their on call schedule, at least at our hospital, is insane. Not
is
a fan
it?
Of it? Yes.
Oh.
Yes. I'm not going to elaborate because I can't remember. I remember more about the Packy one, but
you're
I just
like,
didn't
like it.
I'll just know that they were talking about it, and I went, "That's dumb. I'm not doing that."
Yeah.
I just, one of the girly pops on the floor just transitioned over to be a CNA OR tech, so
that'll
be cool.
Yes.
She's going to come back to the floor and tell us what it's all about, but it sounds cool. I'm glad for her.
One of our CNAs went to same day, and she loves it.
Yeah.
Tell us about the PACU.
Anyway, so I did my preceptorship in the PACU, so I spent a month and a half over there doing the jolly thing. And I learned quite a lot about respiratory stuff. So after post-anesthesia, most of the time you are going to have a little bit of trouble breathing. So that's really what they specialize in, is making sure you wake up okay. So they come out from surgery, and immediately it's the surgeon, the scrub nurse, or the scrub tech. And they're talking to you, telling you about like what surgery they did, you know, what they found. And then they're showing you the sites that you're looking at, and you need to, and then you're monitoring that for the next like 30 to 40 minutes, usually about that much. If you are there any longer, they like to keep you in the PACU less than 2 hours, because first of all, it's kind of expensive to be there, mm-hmm. and two, you shouldn't be there after you're like perky and waking up. And if you're there for more than 2 hours, something's wrong,
yeah.
and they might be taking you back to surgery anyways. So you're watching the wounds, you're watching to make sure they wake up, you're doing pain meds, because obviously they're in pain. And you do that on repeat, like you're assessing them every 15 minutes, which is why it's usually a 1-to-1 ratio down in the PACU.
Mm-hmm.
It's something I really loved, actually. Like, you are just focused wholly on
focused
your patient
on one
alone,
patient, yeah.
and you're making sure that they do okay. And most of the time, like, they wake up and they're just fine within, you know, 20 minutes, and they get their little ice chips and they're ready to go back over to the same day side or to the floor if they're staying the night. But, you know, you do have a couple, like, adverse things that happen where you're monitoring and you're, like, you're telling the surgeon, you're, like, get your little booty back out here. Something is wrong.
Something is very wrong. Yeah.
And we had somebody that had a AAA that ended up
dissecting.
Yeah, like the, because they went through the femoral arteries and they ended up like her veins were just shredded, and I guess the artery like on the inside just like shredded itself. She was bleeding out again.
Oh my god,
it was insane actually. And it's just so quick how people can turn around. Like, she came out looking really pale, and we were gonna start blood, and then within like 5 minutes we were like, absolutely not, she needs to go back. And ugh. she had to be life flighted down to Denver because it was so extensive. She lived. I was still there at the PACU, and she sent like flowers and cards and everybody to the whole team because she survived, and she has like a 100% recovery. Insane, might I say, but shout out to that entire like surgical and the PACU team.
Feel like they see the crazy stuff because people aren't in their right mind when they come out of surgery because you're still like under anesthesia and stuff. My PACU nurse was so nice to me. I was chatting her up after surgery.
I know, it's just funny to see how like some people are like, oh, we'll just let him sleep for a little bit, and some nurses are like, wake up, get up.
No, my nurse was so nice. I was like, can I have ice chips? And she was like, spoon feed. I was like, my hands were. She was like feeding me the ice chips. She
was so cute. You're like, thank you, I guess.
She was so cute.
You're very focused on respiratory. You learn a lot because post anesthesia, you learn to listen to like a lot of lung sounds, and you gotta cough up a lot of the stuff, like the gas and everything.
Oh, okay.
And you learn to get really good at lung sounds, and you learn what to do when somebody is not breathing. And I am so much more comfortable on the floor now. Like, I do not freak out nearly as hard. Because, like, I've seen what it looks like when people actually stop breathing, and it's a dangerous thing. So I'm like, now I'm just like, we're good. We're good. We're until we're not good. Like, I'll tell you when we're not good. You're fine. But, yeah. So I really like the PACU, actually. But you do have to have critical care experience. So my new grads, it's probably not going to be the place for you. Because most of the PACUs will require you to have some sort of critical care experience before applying.
And our OR team does take new grads. I don't want to say frequently. Because, like, I think I've heard of, like, two people going to the OR as a new grad, but in our hospital, but somebody was telling me that their orientation as, like,
it's a year.
It's a year. Because you have to learn all of the specialties and all of the things because they assign you to anything. You could come in and get a heart, you could come in and get a heart surgery, you could come in and get an ortho surgery, like.
Hey, besties, it's Jess. This episode was getting a little long, so we've decided to split it into two episodes. Stay tuned next week for the second part.